Peter and the Jailbirds, Chapter 8, The Tools You Have. 3:34 p.m. MJ, Apollo 13 or the Princess Bride? 3:35 p.m. May, Peter's not here. 3:35 p.m. MJ, I know, but the three of us are. Do you want to have a movie night? 5:46 p.m. May, yes, I would. You guys pick the movie. I don't care what we watch. 5:47 p.m. Ned. 10 rocket ship emojis. 5:47 p.m. Ned. Failure is not an option. 5:48 p.m. MJ. I can't argue with that level of enthusiasm. 5:49 p.m. May. Thumbs up. 5:49 p.m. May. Tire Indian. MJ liberated the remote from Ned's hand and paused the movie. Duct tape, she said. Yup, Ned said. That's how they're fixing the ship. You want to press play now so I don't die from suspense? You already know how it ends, May snorted. You and Peter have watched this movie how many times? Her eyes were still pinched at the corners, but her lips twitched up against a smile. Duct tape, MJ said again. We broke her, Ned said. He poked MJ's shoulder. MJ? Earth to MJ. Houston, we've got a problem. We have Peter's phone, MJ said. Yes, May said, smile gone. He has Stark's number. I've tried calling him, May said. I've left 79 voicemails. He won't respond. Happy picked up the first time I called him, but he doesn't know how to get Peter out any more than I do. What the hell does this have to do with duct tape? Ned asked. Does Peter have Pepper's number? May retrieved Peter's phone from her purse and scrolled down through his contacts. No, she said, but he does have one contact labeled Hypercompetent Boss Lady. Duct tape, MJ said. MJ, Ned said, seriously, you're kind of freaking me out here. If you don't have the tools you need, MJ said, you use the tools you have. She slid to her feet and held out a hand for Peter's phone. Can I? She asked. After a moment's hesitation, May handed the phone to her. MJ tapped Pepper's contact, propped the phone against her ear, and rummaged in her bag for a notepad. The thing was, Tony worked fast. Always had. Peter knew this. He'd heard it from Happy and Pepper and the news often enough. When Tony set his mind on something, it happened, and it happened fast. So the fact that it had been more than 2 months with no sign of progress towards rescue, that wasn't good. And by not good, Peter meant that he was completely, utterly, and totally screwed. But staying on the raft for life wasn't an option. May needed him. He needed May, and Ned, and MJ, and swinging through the city, and his own room, and school, and... No, he couldn't keep thinking about what he'd lost. He'd go nuts. He was going to go nuts anyway. This was the raft. Stay until you die, or go insane. Or both, most likely. He could see the strain tightening into deep lines around Sam's mouth every day, clenching in Clint's knuckles, creasing into a tight glare in Wanda's eyes. They had their own little world in here, a mini academy for learning all kinds of random shit. But it wasn't enough. It could never be enough, and no one was coming to save them. So he would have to save them. One more circuit rerouted, one more screw untwisted. Peter tucked the blanket closer around himself, making sure it still covered his head and his hands as he worked on dismantling the shock collar. He should have done this months ago. It was time to grab his freedom with his own hands instead of waiting for rescuers who weren't coming. Sure, the collar itself was vibranium, but the screws weren't. The plating over the circuitry wasn't, and the circuits themselves definitely weren't. He listened absently to the pace of the guards' boots in the observation deck, the grating rasp of their laughter. The distant thuds sickened him by now. One last connection to snap off, and then the collar clicked open. The world spasmed around Peter, white-hot and blinding. Every muscle in his body was cramping, convulsing. He couldn't fucking breathe. Pain jolted through his nerves, seized his fingers into claws, burnt through his lungs. The shock ended abruptly, leaving him laid out on the floor of his cell like a spider on a collection page. Peter tried and failed to pull a breath into his aching chest for 10 long seconds before his lungs finally cooperated. His body was still completely numb, burning all over. He struggled to bring his arms up to take the collar off, but they wouldn't respond. The collar clicked shut again. Peter closed his eyes. "You want another taste of that, punk?" one of the guards laughed. He held up his remote and tapped the button. Looked like fun. "Stand up, face the wall," the other guard said. "Hands behind your back." "You can't do this," Sam argued, but the guards didn't even turn to look at him. "This is inhumane. He's just a kid. You can't..." "Count of 10, punk, or you get another shock. From one of us this time, no automatic switch off." Peter's stomach lurched. He tried to find the strength to stand up and walk towards his punishment. They were going to take him to solitary. He couldn't go. He couldn't. "Don't tape over my shows," he croaked at last, and struggled to his feet, still trembling with aftershocks. Clint leaned against the door of his cell. "You're too young to make that reference, kid," he said. And he was right. Peter was. But as long as he could remember the way May always said it, says it, voice dry and snarky, he could hold on to hope of returning home someday. He faced the wall, held his hands out behind him, and let them cuff him and march him out of his cell. "Looking good, kid," Clint said. Sam's arms were folded across his stomach, his eyes pinched with sorrow. "You can do this," he rasped. "We'll be here when you get back." Peter nodded at him, then stumbled after the guards as they dragged him away to solitary. They marched him back to his cell 7 days later, right as the webs holding his heart steady were beginning to fray. Peter didn't fight back after they took the cuffs off, didn't lunge to pin the guards against his cell walls before they slammed the door shut behind him. Just sat on the bench. "Hey, Peter," Sam said. "Hey, guys," Peter's voice cracked. "How are you?" Sam asked. Peter looked at him. "Well, it was worth a try," Clint said. "But feelings are for wimps, right? What did I tell you, kid?" "What did I miss?" Peter asked. "Clint's been teaching us some nice new swear words," Wanda said. "You're going to have to work hard to catch up," Clint said. "But it'll be worth it, I promise." Peter focused on the blinking red light of his cell door. "Are we going to die here?" Silence. "You remember Bucky?" Sam asked. Peter blinked up at him, thrown by the non sequitur. "Metal arm," he said. "Cap and I searched for his sorry ass all around the world for 2 years," Sam said. "One thing about Cap, he doesn't give up. Stubbornest bastard I've ever met, the most loyal, too. I know he's going to come for us as soon as he can." "But what if he's dead? I mean, I think he was still out there when I got, captured. But what if he died after that? What if we're stuck here for the rest of our lives?" Sam looked at Peter for a moment, arms crossed against his chest. "I don't know if you've noticed, kid," he said at last, "but we don't have a lot of stuff around here. Hope's just about the only thing we've got left." Peter nodded. "So if you're going to lose hope," Sam said, "keep it to yourself." Well, Peter had lost hope. The only things that had been keeping him in the cell were the collar and his belief in Tony and Cap coming to save them. But Tony and Cap weren't coming, and he had managed to open the collar. He'd heard the lock click open, clear as anything. He hadn't been able to remove it because of the electric shock, but if he could position the collar on something that would pull it off him as the shock began... Peter huddled beneath the blanket again, pretending to nap. He'd given it a few days, so the guards would be less suspicious, he told himself. He definitely wasn't scared of getting shocked again, or of going back to solitary if his plan didn't work. Not scared. Not at all. Okay, screw it. He was terrified. But that didn't matter. Freedom was more important. He had to get out, and he had to get his jailmates out, too. Peter tied one corner of the blanket to one of the bars on the wall above the bed, took a deep breath, and tied another corner around the collar. One last circuit, and... the world exploded around him again in jagged bolts of electricity. Peter seized and seized again, muscles cramping into impossible contortions. His mind went static. The current scorched his neck, shot bolts of lightning up and down his spine. But then, without any warning, the current stopped and the collar clicked open. Peter tumbled to the floor, neck bruised and burnt, and free! Holy crap, he was free! He lunged towards the circuitry beside the door, ripped the panel off, and started rerouting circuits, figuring out how to persuade the door to open for him. There was a faint click hiss above him. Peter stared at the others for one terrified, frozen moment before lurching into action again. He held his breath and tried combo after combo, trying to find the circuitry that would open the door. His hands shook on the wire as the need for fresh air rose sharply, desperately. His lungs spasmed with a drowning reflex, breathing without his consent. He held his breath again, but the damage was done. The gas had no color, no smell, just carbon monoxide and lots of it. The circuits began to spiral before his eyes, warping into shadowed swirls. His arms refused to obey his commands. His legs crumpled. Peter stared out towards the prison floor, trying to find Sam and Clint and Wanda's familiar shapes as his body shut down. He woke up in a silent, empty, pitch-black cell.